Betty up front. All right. As you get those things, we're going to be going through that together this morning. We've been talking about this for a while. And did you get one, Betty? All right. Here we go. So, a couple of housekeeping chores. We're excited. Today's a special day. While you're standing up there looking around, everybody see Pastor Jeff? It's his birthday today. Woo! 70 years old. Was I supposed to tell people? It was funny. At Robeson today, he said, "I've been following the Lord for 70 years. I said, "Well, that puts you at about 85, probably. Don't look a day over 70. But we're going to celebrate you after church. We've got cake and ice cream. So, as my mom would say, you're going to ruin your lunch. But it's for a good cause. So, happy birthday, Pastor. I would sing, but I'm not going to sing. Go ahead. Would you like a mic? Would you grab him that mic?
And I woke up this morning saying, today I begin my second 70 years of living in the grace of God and serving Him. And I'm so glad He's called me to serve in this team here. And so I just want to invite you to make this day, your birthday gift to me can be a recommitment to serving Him for the next 70 years with me. All right?
Amen. You're asking a lot. Can we just get you something, a card, gift card or something? All right. Well, praise the Lord. So, we're going to start something today we're calling Growth Track. And if you boil it all down to its simplest terms, Growth Track is really our new, it's our membership class for New Life Church. Some of you have come in many years ago, some of you recently, and you've gone through our membership class. We've redesigned it now into this growth track. So by the end of today, you'll know everything you need to know. At least you'll have all the information available to decide whether or not you want to be a member of New Life Church. But I want to stress before we go any further that joining the church and you signing a membership covenant is not our goal for growth track. We call it growth track because the idea is that we want to grow and go together. Our goal is that not only as a member, you become a member of this church, but you would, as a member, learn what your spiritual gifts are, learn how God created you, and find from that what your purpose is so that you can be plugged in and serving the Lord. That's our goal, that by the end of the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks after this one, you'll be serving the Lord or actively pursuing a place to serve the Lord wherever you live, in our church or wherever that might be. And so what we'll be talking about this morning is our church and membership and how to join that church. Step two next week is called Discover, and we'll talk about the strengths that God has given to you and the spiritual gifts that God has given you. We'll give you some tools to help you find out what those are. And then step three, develop, we're going to help you develop your own leadership abilities. And then so you can, step four, plug into a ministry, engage in what God is doing, find what God is doing, find what He's called you to do, and then find that place to serve Him. So this morning, we're going to talk about New Life Church. Did you know that on April 4th, which is a week and a half, I guess, New Life Church will be 20 years old. That's a long time for some of us, Pastor Jeff. Blink of an eye for others. 20 years old. Now, that's hard to believe. So, 20 years old, that's an interesting age. It's supposed to be old enough to be a little bit mature, have developed some maturity, still quite a bit, a little bit ornery. Right? So that kind of describes us, don't you think? Christine and I we moved to Denton. I grew up in Denton, and then we were in seminary. We got married, and we were in seminary in Fort Worth. We lived in Fort Worth, and by the end of my seminary, we had kids, and we moved back to Denton, and we started looking for a church. And our goal was to find what I now call, I didn't call it this back then, I was looking for a two-parent church. So when God, years ago, when he created the world, and he created Adam and Eve, and he created the family is meant to be God's primary redemptive tool in the world. That's how he's reaching the world, through families first, and then churches second. So when he created the family, he created it the way he wanted it to be, with a mother and a father. They both add important elements to a family life. So that you got a mom who is loving and caring and nurturing and encouraging, and she talks sweet and she kisses boo-boos and she does things that only she can do. And that's important. The father adds stability, he adds structure, he adds he makes you proud, and he tells hilarious jokes, dad jokes, and eventually they both embarrass you anyway. But anyway, that's the way God created the family to be. It's a two-parent church. Now, I want you to know we don't live in a perfect world, and there are a lot of single-parent families that God has done amazing things through. God provides in every situation. And so kids can grow up in a single-parent home and be happy and healthy and well-adjusted and great kids because of the goodness of God, right? So, but ideally, God said there's going to be a father and there's going to be a mother. And so when we were looking for a church, I believe that God's created the church in the same way. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and the church started, God began the church with two parents. You've got the Holy Spirit who nurtures, who encourages, who loves, who grows, who kisses boo-boos and heals as we go through life. And then you also have the Word of God, which is the stability and the structure and the order that's necessary with some rules for living. And so those two are meant to work together in the church, the Spirit and the Word. And so when we moved to Denton many, many years ago, we were looking for a church that had both emphasis. And I'm not saying they weren't here. I'm just saying we didn't necessarily find one that fit us at that time. And we found what seemed to us to be a lot of single-parent churches. So we have a church that was really emphasizing the Spirit of God and the move of God, which was great, but didn't emphasize the Word of God like we liked. Or we go to another church, as a Bible church, that emphasized the Word of God, but not the Spirit and the life that the Spirit brings. So we were looking for both. And so we were having trouble finding it. Like I said, they were probably around. We just didn't see it. And the Lord began to speak to us. And we sat down with some dear friends of ours, Ed and Deborah Cook. And I don't have my glasses on. Are y'all here today? What a day to skip church. And so we began to talk and we began to pray. That's me and Ed in our very first church office when we started the church on Easter in 1999. And I thought maybe we got a picture of us. That's my wife. I wanted that one on there because look at her wearing overalls. Isn't she cute? That was the first service on Easter. That's Reagan Mann, who's now 21 years old and going back to college today. Except that they shut down the college, so you have to stay here. Sorry. I keep telling her that. I haven't fooled her yet. Wow, look at Pastor Jim on the very front left. I started the church when I was 15. So we began praying, and we began seeking the Lord, and before you know it, Easter 99, New Life Church started at the Student Center at TW. Something significant about that service. Literally the worst service I've ever been to. It was so bad. Everything that could go wrong went wrong in that service, and we were shocked that anybody showed up the next week. But people showed up the next week. We took our very first offering that Sunday for missions. Woman-to-woman pregnancy resource center. I'll talk about them in a minute. Got our first offering when we started 20 years ago. So 2005, we began a Robeson Ranch campus. We've been out at Robeson Ranch now for 14 years. We go out there every Sunday morning. I'll do the same sermon that I'll preach here, but we have different worship. Pastor Jeff leads worship out there. It is fantastic. It's all hymns. It's all old school, and I love it. So I get the best of both worlds every Sunday. That's why I'm so happy when I get here on Sunday morning. And then also, that's the same year that Pastor Jeff and Dr. Opong and Living Stones Fellowship Church came and joined us, and God brought us together. That's a long story, a miraculous story in and of itself, but a really cool story. And so we've been going since then. We opened this campus here on the top of this hill. God told us, buy property in Oklahoma. I mean, in Sanger. And we've been out here since 2007, if you can imagine it. And God's done some great things. And I need to tell you this. You know the hill with the crosses? We planted that hill full of bluebonnets. So keep your eyes open in the next couple weeks so you can come enjoy that. And feel free always to come out and pray and spend time at the crosses. They're yours for that reason, all right? So 20 years old. Can you believe it? So our goal as a church is how we describe it now. It's always been this way, but we've just put the words to it over the last couple of years. Grow, go, together. We want to grow, go, together. And you can find that in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 and 18. And by the way, in your booklet, you can follow along. Jeff and Marley Creech put these together. They're amazing. And you can follow along with everything I'm talking about here. But Paul prays this prayer to the over the church in Ephesus, and it's a great prayer that we pray over this church, New Life Church. Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so there's a little outline in there of what we're going to be talking about. First of all, the goal of New Life Church is to help you know God. First and foremost, to help you know God, not to know about God, not to know some great theology about God, but that you would have an intimate and personal relationship with the God of the universe. The kind of relationship that I have with him this morning, I don't know what your week was like. Was it might a good week? It was fine, but, you know, a little stressful or whatever. But when I came into church this morning, there was a sense of, did you feel that this morning? And just God's presence and the joy that came of being in a relationship with him. So our goal is to help that you would know God, number one. Number two, help you find community. We need each other in the process of walking with God. We talked last week about it in our study of James. He mentioned praying for each other, encouraging one another, confessing your sins to one another, holding each other accountable. So that's part of being a Christian, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Find community. Paul says that we've been called to a hope. There's a calling for us, number three. So we need to find what our calling is. Find out what our purpose is. God's made each one of us for a purpose. It's not just random. He didn't just throw you together and then toss you out there. He created you specifically for a reason. We want to help you find that purpose and then plug in, number four, so you can make a difference. Paul talks about that, the riches of his glorious inheritance. The riches of his glorious inheritance. And so we want to find out what that is. And so we want to know God. We want to, as a church, find community so that we can find our purpose and then go make a difference in the world around us. So how does being a member of a church help me to know God? Well, that's a question I'll get from time to time. Do I have to be a member of a church to know God? Why can't I just join a church on TV? Or why can't I just log in on a website and watch a church? Can't I know God on my own? Well, the answer is yes and no. You can certainly know God on your own. You don't, in order to get to heaven, God doesn't check membership logs of a church. He wants to know if you've been washed in the blood of his son, Jesus, right? So you can know God. If you are on a deserted island, you can know God without having a church. You can know God without a church. But one of Paul's favorite analogies for the church is the body of Christ, where Jesus is the head of the church, and you and I are the body, different parts of the body. You're a finger, I'm a toe, somebody's an ear, somebody's a nose, or whatever. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you're a finger, but you're not in a church, you're a severed finger. So you can find a severed finger walking down the street today, and it's going to freak you out. There's something unnatural about it, right? And so you're not going to know what to do. It's not very useful. Severed finger is not very useful. A finger attached to a hand that is attached to an arm that receives synapses firing from the brain, now that's useful. It can pick things up. It can grab things. It can write things. It can cut things. It can do all manner of useful things. And so why you need a church is because a finger needs a hand, and hand needs an arm. All right. So the author of Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. You see it capitalized that like that? It says the day. It's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus. It's one day closer today than it was yesterday. And tomorrow, if he doesn't come between now and then, it's one day closer. So the day is approaching, and we need to meet together. We need to be encouraging one another as a body of Christ all the more as the end nears. As this window of opportunity that we have for ministry in this dying world shrinks, the window's beginning to close, we need each other all the more. And so it's important that we come together on Sunday mornings and worship. And here's our goal when we come together to worship on Sunday morning. We want to celebrate what God's doing in our midst. We want to encounter God. We want to experience his presence. I told you that was what ministered to me this morning when I came to church. I just felt his presence and experienced him. We are going to study God's word together so that we might be equipped for the spiritual battle ahead. Right? How often do we talk about something in our Sunday message, our Sunday sermon, and you say to yourself, man, that's exactly what I'm going through right now? Or later on in the week, you say, man, that's exactly what we talked about on Sunday. Doesn't that happen quite a bit? God's word has an interesting way of doing that. I'll hear people tell me all the time, are you following me around? Do you know, are you reading my mail? What are you doing? It's the Lord equipping us for the spiritual battle that we face every day, week in and week out. And then our goal when we come together ultimately is to respond to God. If there's an opportunity for salvation and you've never given your heart to God, we want you to do that. We want you to come up front and pray with somebody. If last week we talked about prayer for healing of the sick, and so our response was people came up and we elders laid hands on them and we prayed for them. We'll give you an opportunity every Sunday to repent if there's something going on in your life, or to give, or to respond to God by praising him or worshiping him. Our goal is not just to take everything he gives us like spoiled children, but to respond to him, to interact with him. So when he does something good, we thank him. When we have needs, we ask him, right? In a relationship. So the important thing for us is that we know God in our daily lives and in our daily, our church services on the weekends, to experience worship and know God intimately. But also our goal as a church is not only about us. We talk about the world out there. We talk about, as you look at on the side of our walls over here, on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Our goal is that the earth hear about the greatness of God. Not that these four walls contain it, our worship, our praise. We were singing All Hail King Jesus, and it was beautiful. The angels loved it. I loved it. The world needed to hear it. And so we got to get that out of these four walls. And so we're encouraging not only that you know God personally, but that you lead others to know God. People you work with, people you live in a neighborhood with, kids you go to school with, all of those types of things. And so in order to do that, we have to change our thinking a little bit. The American church MO, the modus operandi of the church, has become, over the years, come and see. Pastor Jeff talks about this a lot. Come and see. Come and see how good God is. Come and see what God's doing. And because of that, our churches, man, the music teams won't miss a note. The lights will be perfect. You got fog machines and the sermons perfect. You know, not too much unlike here, but and he never tells a bad joke. All those types of things. But that has more of a Hollywood feel than a biblical church feel. Because the church's MO was go and tell. Now, there was a bit of come and see in the ministry of Jesus. I mean, when Jesus is healing people and raising the dead, people are going to go, right? But mostly, Jesus would go and he would tell people, the Father loves you. And this is how much. And so we as a church need to adopt the go and tell method of sharing Jesus' love versus the come and see method of sharing God's love. And so that means we each of us have to accept a responsibility for sharing God's love with others. So when he says in his Great Commission, Jesus says in his Great Commission, go into all the world, he's not just talking to those 12 disciples that were there, or the 11 of them. He's talking to all of his disciples throughout history. Each of us is to go into our worlds and share God's love for us. So we have to accept that responsibility. We have to obviously have a personal relationship with God, because you can't give away what you don't got. Right? So you carry less weight when you're telling somebody about what you read versus what God's done for you, as a personal testimony. And that's the next point. All we're doing is sharing our story. You don't have to have the New Testament memorized. You don't have to have philosophical arguments for the existence of God memorized. All you have to have is a story. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. That's a pretty good one. I did that off the top of my head. Made that one up. But at the end of it, when you share your story, you give them a personal invitation. Don't just leave it at, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. You give them an opportunity. Would you like to experience the freedom that I've experienced? That was a pretty radical change that I went through. Would you like that change in your life? And that's what we're talking about, sharing God's love. And I love it, love it, love it, when you bring people to church so that they'll hear the gospel message. That encourages my heart. But I love it even more when you introduce me to someone after church and say, I just led this person to the Lord this week. That makes my heart sing. So, not only do we want to know God as a church, we want our communities to know God because of us and through us. And so the next point behind knowing God is finding community. And as great as our Sunday services are, you just can't fit all the spiritual nutrients that you need for the week in 1.5 hours, right? You can't eat one good healthy meal on Sunday and then that lasts you throughout the week. And so we just need a little bit more than what we can offer here in this hour and a half. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, every day, this is the early church, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. So they enjoyed the celebration time together as a church, but they also enjoyed time with each other outside of the church in homes. And we call that, at New Life, we call those life groups. We believe that life change happens sometimes when you're listening to a sermon. Sometimes it happens just when you're praying on your own. Sometimes life change happens when you're in the midst of worship and God shows you something. But most often, life change happens when we're walking through something with someone. And we're praying through things and we're talking about things and we're dealing with difficult issues, right? And we have people that encourage us along the way. And so that's the goal of a life group. Our goal of a life group is really simple, and it is to bring people together. And the Bible says when we bring people together in Jesus' name, awesome things happen. When two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you. Ask anything and it will be done, right? And so our goal is to bring people together so that they have a place to connect with each other, they would have a place to protect each other, and that they would have a place to grow together. That's what a life group is all about. And we believe since each of us have world-changing potential, the best place to figure out what that is in a small group with others that will encourage you and bring it out of you. So some of our life groups are what we call, we're good capitalists around here. And so we call them free market life groups. If there's a market, we'll sell it. And so those are basically topical. So life groups might be on the topic of marriage. My wife and I have done a bunch on those, or rearing kids. There's men's groups. There's women's groups. There's groups that are done on finances. And those life groups will go through on a trimester basis. So we have a summer one that's short. We have a fall and then a winter spring on either side of that that lasts a little bit longer. And so those change every trimester. And so you can jump in and out of those. And you can find all of those here. This was at our Welcome Center, but it's also on our website. It's also on our church app that you can download. And you can find out whatever it is you're interested in. So here's one, for instance, prayer, Bible study, and support for men. They have a men's prayer group on Sunday morning before church. Do you know that? And they pray for each other's families, and they pray for each other's work and health and finances and all that kind of stuff. And they talk, and there's a little Bible study and prayer. So there's all kinds of stuff in here where you can get involved and get connected to people. Then there's another type of small group that we got, which are called Life Links. And Life Links are ongoing small groups. They don't change every trimester. And so they meet regularly throughout the year. And these folks will meet in homes, and they'll grow closer together than you will with somebody you meet with for 8 weeks in the summer or 13 weeks in the fall. And so you'll go through life with them, and they really grow close to one another. So, listen, anyone can be involved in a life group. And like I said, you can find them on our website or in one of these catalogs out there or our church app. But the question then is, what are you looking for? That's the question. Are you looking for friendship? Are you looking for deep relationships? Are you looking for teaching in relation to marriage or finances or something like that? So that's the question. What are you looking for? And there's probably one for you. And in the days ahead, if there's not, and you go through and you discover your gifts and your talents, God may have you start one. So your thing might be Financial Peace University. Well, then we want to give you an opportunity to do that, because there's a lot of people in here that need that, right? So those are life groups. That's how we find community outside of Sunday service. The next one is Discover Your Purpose, and we won't hang out very long here because we'll be talking about this in the weeks to come. But basically, I want you to know today that God made you unique, and there is no one like you. Right. Some people say amen in a good way. Others are saying it in a bad way, but you get my point. God's created you that way for a reason. And so we want to help you find what that reason is. And so God's given you a personality, and then he's given you spiritual gifts. So if we can help you figure out what your personality style is like and figure out what your spiritual gifts are, we believe the nexus of where those two connect is the perfect place for ministry for you. Because God gave you the personality for it and the gifts for it. And so we're going to help coach you through that and find that place where they fit together. And so you can be launched into ministry. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more freeing than the confidence of knowing you're doing what God wants you to do. So when you don't have to wake up in the morning and say, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? You're that much closer to getting stuff done, right? You don't have to wrestle. And you go for it because God's done it, or is doing it in your life. Finally, today what we're going to talk about is becoming a member of New Life Church. Somebody at Robeson told me today, he said, I'm not sure I want to become a member of a place that would have me as a member. It's pretty good. So the Bible encouraged us to be a member of a local body. And I talked about that, the reason we need to be a member of the body. I want to make sure you understand me. You don't have to be a member of this church. You need to be a member of a church somewhere. You need to be involved in a church. You need to be supporting a church. You need to be serving a church. It doesn't have to be this church. We think you'd be great here. We're extending our invitation to you today to join here. But you need to be in a local church. And so at our church, we don't make a big deal out of ministry staff and congregation, because we feel like we're all one of Paul's words for the word minister is the Greek word under rower, huperetes. We're all under rowers. We're all on the same ship. We all got an oar in our hand, and we're all pulling and going the same place, okay? Whether you got a title or not. And so we're all in this together. We're all working together. Our goal, actually our mission statement, is that New Life Church wants to make disciples competent and empowered by the Holy Spirit for ministry. And that's our goal as a church, that when you leave competent and empowered for ministry. That the Holy Spirit has changed you and made you competent minister. You're empowered for ministry. And so that's our goal. We're all ministers together. A couple things that you'll want to know about our church specifically that set us apart or make us a little bit different than other churches. One is government. I don't know what page we're on in the book. 16, but you can follow along with me. And so our church government is a little bit different than other church governments. We describe ourselves this way. We are led by the elders. We are guided by the staff. We are, I got my pages out of order. We are protected by the trustees, and we're accountable to the overseers. So the elders, the Lord has set apart in our church. We have several couples. I think there's 8 of us and 10 of us, sorry, and we consider the husbands and wives part of the elder team, and so our wives are involved in praying for this church and asking God's direction for this church, and so their goal is to receive direction from the church, then to pass it to the staff. The staff's goal then is to implement that. The trustees, that's our financial board, their goal is to pay for it and write the checks that are needed, and then the overseers are pastors that are outside of our local church body, and they're around the country, actually, and they stay in touch, and they pray for us. They provide oversight, encouragement, those types of things, and they're there if ever there's a problem. So I'll give you an illustration of how it works or how it might work. So a couple weeks ago, we found a need that Woman to Woman had. They wanted 2 examination tables for a new sonogram machine they're getting. They told us, I asked how much they cost. They were $1,200 bucks each. And so the elders said that we were like, that would be a great plan. And so the staff then promoted it. They put it We put it in the bulletin. We talked about it in the church service. We sent out emails about it. The church wonderfully gave over $3,000 to it. And so we bought the two tables, and then we gave the rest of that money to the sonogram machine. So the trustees, the financial board, they oversee that every dollar that came in for this woman-to-woman offering goes to woman-to-woman, that every person then is credited for their tax records. They get benefit for that and their giving, and to make sure that everything went for what it said it went for, right? And then, and that's how it works. And if there's ever a problem, specifically with me, if there's ever an issue that I get off the rails with theology or finances or morality, then the overseers would come in and they would examine me and they would look at all the facts and they'd run an investigation and find out what needs to happen. And so Pastor Jeff can still be my friend and not my judge. And so these guys will come in to do that. So that's how our government works. Our giving, our New Life Church is 100% supported by the giving of the congregation. We believe that God commands us as Christians as a base to give 10% to the local church. That's the biblical standard. It's called a tithe. We believe in that. And so for that reason, we always give members an opportunity to give. There are lots of ways to give. You can give in the offering plates that we pass. You know, there's boxes at the back doors. You can give on the website. You can give on our church app. You can direct deposit. That's the way my wife and I do it. We don't have to think about it. It just comes straight from the bank. And I know a lot of y'all do that. Some of offerings are a little bit different than our tithes. Offerings are anything above the tithes and the offering. So 10% is the base. It goes to the church. The offerings are like what we gave to woman to woman, or today we gave you an opportunity to help in the Nebraska relief. That would be considered an offering. And then some of you are going to discover when we do our spiritual gift assessment in the next couple weeks that you've got a gift of giving. And we want to help you find places to do that as well. And so we will, because the Bible talks a lot about money, we will preach on finances from time to time as it comes up in the scripture. But we are very fortunate at our church to have discovered how generous you are. And so I never have to preach about money because trying to guilt you into giving. And so I want to say thank you. I know I have friends in the ministry that preaching about money is very difficult for them because they lead congregations of stingy people. So I want to thank you for your generosity. And I want you to know that we're good stewards of it. We have budgets that we adhere to that are approved by our trustees who have regular meetings. And they get reports every month about what came in, what went out, what expenses were significant or insignificant or whatever. They look at it all. We have regular third-party audits. We have bylaws. We have accounting procedures. We have yearly budgets. In fact, there's one out there now. I don't know if y'all picked it up or not. This is our last year annual financial report. It's out on the Welcome Center. You can pick that up. You can ask any question. It's available to you. We want you to know that we're good stewards of it. But however you give, whether it's the tithes or offerings or with spiritual gifts or whatever, we want you to know that you give to God through the church, not to the church. You're not giving to the church. You're giving to God, and you're doing it through this local church. And we're going to be good stewards of that, and we take that very seriously. So let's talk about what it means to be a member of New Life Church. All right. Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and so you can look at this. There's one that's should be added in there that is loose leaf, and then the other one, it's on page 18. All right? So having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and by the way, we want to emphasize that church membership is for a Christian, for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian and you want to be, come see me after church. I'll be right here, and I'll show you how it's done. Piece of cake, knock that thing out. All right. So, having received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and being in agreement with the values and ideas presented in step one of Growth Track, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit, and that's another important thing. We want you to pray about this. We don't want you just to haphazardly join any church, our church, another church. This is a matter of prayer. God has a place for you, and we want you to find where that is. To unite with New Life Church family, and in so doing, I make the following commitment to God and to my fellow members. Four things that we're asking you to do. Okay? So let me just, before we go any further, let me just talk about that word covenant. Covenant is a really important sounding Old Testament word. And it is, it means promise, basically. But it's a picture of a promise that goes both ways. So, for instance, when God and Abraham made a covenant, God made promises to Abraham, and Abraham made promises to God. You remember that? God says, I will bless you among the nations. And he said to Abraham, leave your family and follow me. And so they both brought something to the table. Obviously, what God brings is much bigger than what Abraham brings, but still it's significant. And so this is similar. Our covenant is similar. What we're promising as a church to do for you is to help you find a place where you can get to know God, help you find a place where you can have community, help you find a place where you can learn and discover your spiritual gifts and your purpose, and help you find a place where you can connect and make a difference in the world. That's our promise to you. And what we're asking from you are these four things in our covenant. And I'll also say this, a covenant between you and a church is not the same thing as a covenant between you and God. So I don't want you ever to confuse those two. A covenant between you and God is forever and unbreakable. A covenant you make to New Life Church is not on the same par, okay? So you could leave this church at some point in the future and not go to hell, okay? You need to know that, right? So, here's the promises you make if you want to be a member of our church. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, refusing to gossip, and following the leaders. See how easy this is? Y'all already do all of that. So let us concentrate on the things which make for harmony and on the growth of our fellowship together. Live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward each other. Have a sincere love for other believers. Love one another earnestly with all your heart. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they work to keep watch over you, and also as those who give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. So, to be a member of the church, we're asking that you love the other members, you don't gossip about the other members, and you submit to this leadership structure that we've discussed with trustees and staff and all of those things that we elders and we talked about. Okay, so there's number one. Number two, I will share in the responsibility of my church. By praying for its growth and health, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by welcoming warmly those who visit. Okay, to the church, we always thank God for you, for all of you continually mentioning you in our prayers. Go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come in so that the house will be full. So warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified. So y'all do this anyway. Well, so we're asking that you would pray for this church, pray for its growth, pray for its health. As the days darken, we should be praying for all churches that they would be places of light. I find myself more often than not as I'm driving through town and I see a church, and I ask the Lord, Lord, in this dark corner of the city, would you let your light shine through that place? So we're asking to pray for our church, that you would invite people to church. Hopefully that you wouldn't be too ashamed of my jokes, that you would let people come and join us. And so y'all do all that. But here's the challenging one sometimes, warmly welcoming those who visit. Y'all are all very friendly and very outgoing, and that's very clear. But sometimes, because we haven't seen each other for a week, we come in and we're seeing our friends, our close friends, and we're catching up. And so we just need to remember there are others that are coming in that we need to be reaching out to and welcoming, so they feel as welcome, and you and your friends can catch up later. In fact, you should join a life group with them, and then you'll see them all the time. All right, number three, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, using my gifts, God-given gifts, to make a difference in the lives of others, and developing a servant's heart. Serve one another with the particular gifts that God has given each of you. So Christ himself gave pastors and teachers to equip the church for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let each of you not look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, taking the form of a bond servant. Okay, so we're going to help you do this in the next couple weeks. Discover your gifts and then find a place to use your gifts and your talents and help you develop a servant's heart so you can find out where it is that God would have you belong. And then finally, I will support the testimony of my church by attending church and small groups faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. So they devote, again, you do all this as well. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let us not neglect our meeting together, but encourage one another. But whatever happens, make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so you go back over that list of the three main headings. Protecting the church, the unity of the church, sharing the responsibility of the church, serving the ministry of the church, and supporting the testimony of the church. And if you notice, there is a theme running through this, and that is our understanding of what the Bible says about the church. The church is not all about me. It is Jesus' body. It's all about him. And so our goal in finding the right church is discovering where we fit in and what we can do. A lot of American church today is like, what do they got for me? What do they got for this? What do they got for that? So we're going to focus on those things. We're obviously going to make sure that we have ministries that meet the needs of your family and your kids and all of those types of things. But the goal of the church is so we can find a place where we can serve God, that we can serve his body and serve his people. And so that's what we're looking for when we're talking about membership in church. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Many of you have already done this. If you've been here for a while, you can see this on our website, our app, and all that kind of stuff. In the appendix, you'll find our statement of faith. We also have the answer key for those of you, I was really talking fast or whatever and didn't catch it, or you were doodling and not listening. The answer key is there. The statement of faith is there, and I'll tell you this about our statement of faith. Not real exciting. It's just a pretty straightforward, evangelical, orthodox, Christian, Bible-believing statement of faith. That's there if you want to read that, and you should want to read that and find out what we felt important enough to put in there. And so I'm going to encourage you, before next Sunday, read the statement of faith, complete the membership covenant, and return it next week. Some of you are already really members, and you're ready, and you've already gone through this, and so you're ready to do that. You feel free to fill, there's a loose leaf covenant for you to bring back. Fill that out. Notice on the back, though, there's some personal information we want from you, just to make sure our records are updated, and there's an opt-in place for our emails and stuff if you want our emails. If you don't want them, let us know, and we'll take care of that. So you can leave, if you want to do that today, you can leave it at the Welcome Center on your way out. Then go back over this week, review this step one, read all the scriptures in it again, pray about it, and then bring it back next, bring back the membership covenant next week. And then I'm asking you to make a commitment to be here for the next 3 weeks. Because like I said, this to me is out of all the four lessons we're going to do, this is the least important. I mean, it's super important, but it's more important to me that you find out how God made you, what your gifts are, and where you can serve. And so in the long run, in the kingdom of God, that's super important. So be back next week, and we'll talk about spiritual gifts, and we'll take a test together, and you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. Also, if you have any questions, then our information is in the bulletin, the phone number, the website, and you can get a hold of me throughout the week, or Pastor Jeff, if you have questions about our theology or our government or history or anything like that. We want to answer those questions, and so we'll be available all week to do that. Okay? All right. Pretty exciting stuff today. I'm excited that you're here. I believe God brought you here for a purpose today, and I want to encourage you to join us. As we grow and go together, God's doing some great things in our midst, and this is an important first step of a long journey together. And so, really glad you're here, and I feel like the Lord brought you here for that reason. Pastor Jeff, happy birthday. We've got... I think there's cake. Gavin, is there cake? Did you already test it? Was it good? Okay, we already tried it. It's good. It's not poisonous. And then Paul and Barbie, raise your hand. It's our friends of First Refuge. So one of the things we're doing over the next couple weeks, we're going to grow together. Grow is next week. We've got something really cool. If you're here on Sunday, we've got a great gift for you that will benefit you spiritually throughout your week. We'll look for emails and stuff about that. The week after that, we're going to go. This is how we're celebrating our birthday. We're doing stuff. We're going to go together, and we're going to serve the First Refuge Ministries, their Mustache Dash. It's a 5K. You can sign up for it out there if you want to run and raise money. And we give money to them every week as a ministry. Every month as a ministry. But this is their big spring event where they raise money. So we're going to serve on that Saturday morning, April 13th. So my wife's going to run the race. I've decided to be a servant and not run. And so I'm going to hand out packets and glasses of water to people that are actually running. And I'm going to serve that way. And everybody that serves gets a T-shirt. And we get to be together, and we get to do something fun and for a great cause to help the people in Denton that need a helping hand, all right? So make sure you stop at that table before you leave. And so we'll do that. Father, we love you. I thank you for your church. I thank you for this church. I thank you for 20 years of ministry, Lord. I thank you that you've protected us. Over all these years. I thank you, Lord, you've given us influence in people's lives. I thank you, Lord, for the many, many people that have come through here that have been saved, filled with your spirit, and empowered for works of ministry, and the many, many more over the years that will come. And Lord, one day when this part of Denton is packed with houses and this church is bursting at the seams, that the great foundation will have been laid by people that support the testimony of the church and share responsibility of the church and serve the ministry of the church and protect the unity of the church. And so, Lord, I pray for everybody here that's considering membership, that you would speak to them, that you would show them yes or no. And, Lord, like I always say, it's your house, you can move the furniture wherever you want, that you would put them in your church somewhere. If it's here, that would be great. We would love that. If not, Lord, that you would give them the perfect place for their service. Lord, thank you for everyone here, the generosity that we see week in, week out, the service we see week in, week out. Make us all more like that, we pray. And Father, for Pastor Jeff, thank you for this great man of integrity who loves you and who knows you intimately, who's an example for each one of us in life, in ministry, in marriage, parenting. Thank you, Lord, for him. Bless him with health. Bless him with abundant finances, emotional joy in the days to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have ministry teams up here. We can pray for you. Let us pray for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace as you go. Have a fantastic week.